the OTV Sports app. Listen to OTV Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts, including OTV Gold.
Are you a complete rookie?
The OTV Sports app, available to download now from your app store. The OTV Sports app. Listen, watch, read, all in one place. Wherever you are, we're always with you. The OTV Sports app, available to download now from your app store. The OTV Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Damien Delaney had finished Chelsea 0, Manchester United 0. Wasn't a classic, entertaining enough game, but just to go back quickly on the penalty decision, were you were happy enough with the VAR on that one, were you?
Yeah, I mean, it's flip of a coin. Man United fans will undoubtedly say it should have been a penalty, and Chelsea fans will undoubtedly say it wasn't. You know, I think it was borderline. If it was given, I'd have said fair enough, and it wasn't given, I'd have said fair enough. It was a judgment call from the referee. My own personal view is I don't think it was a penalty, but I've seen them given, and it's very grey area.
On the balance of play, you'd have to say it was probably a deserved result or a fair result between the two sides.
It probably was. I mean, you know, Chelsea did almost certainly force the issue. They tried to win the game. They had the more clear-cut chances. You know, they had a lot of shots from distance, pot shots, tried to turn her over. The killer ball, the final ball wasn't quite there. But, you know, Chelsea forced the issue, I thought, more than Manchester United. But Manchester United soaked up an awful lot of pressure and countered. So, all in all, Chelsea will be disappointed they didn't win it, and I think United will be more than happy with the draw.
The goalkeeper selection at Chelsea has been a talking point over the last season and a half, and Kepa Arrizabalaga has been left aside by Thomas Tuchel in the same way that Frank Lampard left him aside as well. Mendy's come in and he's picked up a lot of clean sheets along the way. He's done okay, but I don't know if I'm 100% convinced on him yet. And we saw there today he had a few nervy moments where he let the ball drop. What's your feeling on him so far?
I think he's a decent keeper. You know, it's his first year in the league. He's only just come in. A lot of money, a lot of pressure on him, I suppose. But he looks more than capable with his feet. He made a couple of good saves today. And a lot of people say he punches a lot of things. But that Rashford free kick, very, very difficult. Maybe the Fred shot at the end was moving a little bit as well, and he just tried to get a hand on it and get it away. But I mean, that ball very nearly fell to Anthony Martial, so he's maybe a touch fortunate there. But look, he's a good keeper. He's going to develop. He's going to get better. He's playing in a new league for the first time, and I think Chelsea should be happy enough with him.
I mentioned in commentary the performance from Azpilicueta. We don't hand out a man of the match, but I would imagine he'd be a leading candidate for that today. He was brilliant. He was getting his head on a lot of stuff. He was defending really well for Chelsea. And funny in the way that Lampard had kind of left him aside as well, but he's come back in under Thomas Tuchel and he's been playing really good.
Yeah, he is. I mean, that right side of three probably suits him now. You know, for a period of time there, he was one of the best attacking right backs with loads of energy up and down. But him moving inside the right side of three centre backs just saves his legs a little bit. And he can do one thing that he's very, very good at, and that's defending. You know, he's real tough, dogged, tenacious defender, 1v1. Gets his head in, old fashioned defender, loves blocking shots, loves getting in the way of things, loves being a nuisance. And he totally shut down Marcus Rashford when he was out there at the end of the game. And I think it was James. They all had a go at him. And he'd done really well against them all.
So Chelsea, you know, as you said during the commentary a few times, there wasn't like a cutting edge. They weren't creating enough clear-cut chances. We can see, though, a style of play or philosophy developing under Thomas Tuchel. It's not going to happen straight away. We know that. I think, you know, a lot of people watching football these days can be a little bit impatient. But what can you see from Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea so far? What's his style of play? What does he want to do?
Very, very strong defensively. That's first and foremost. His defenders really are good defenders. The team is set up, you know, with Kante coming in, almost two number sixes, not quite as out and out defensive as Manchester United, but he always plays with two sitters and he allows the other players, the wing backs and the three attacking players. So there's five attacking and five defending almost. I know towards the end there he threw on an awful lot of attackers just trying to win the game because he felt they were in the ascendancy and Manchester United only threat was the counter-attack. So the next step for him now is to win these types of games. You know, he's had enough of the play, he's enough good players, he needs to give them a platform or a way of playing that will let them go on and not just dominate these games, but win them as well, because he's had a couple of 0-0 draws. Mm. So defensively they're quite solid, but games where they find it hard to break opposition teams down, he needs to find a way to win these games now, but that's the next step for him.
When you say he's enough good players, what about strikers? Because the two leading men there are Tammy Abraham and Olivier Giroud. Giroud seems to have kind of risen above Abraham in the pecking order. Abraham last season was excellent. I know he went maybe a little bit off the boil towards the end of last season. He struggled for form this season. And Giroud, again, like, he's a veteran striker at this stage. He will always come in with a, I suppose, a run of games where he'll score a few goals, but then he seems to go quiet again. So do you think, are those two strikers, are they going to be good enough to get Chelsea top four this season? And is it a position where Tuchel is going to look to strengthen in the summer?
I think so. I think a number nine will be top of his list, really. He has almost everything else. But Giroud is third choice striker at Chelsea. And he's one of the guys that will come off the bench, maybe get 10, 15 starts a season and get you 8, 9, 10 goals. That's his role, really, and that's why they were talking of him leaving, because he wanted more. Very, very difficult to ask someone like Olivier Giroud to play week in, week out, European football during the week and this. You know, as you get older, you cannot just keep going to the well. And I think today was just a kind of a bridge too far for him. He found it very, very difficult. He's an old-fashioned number 9. He just wants to stay high up the pitch and get service and let all the young lads run around him. Tammy Abraham, I don't know what's going on there. You know, as you said, maybe he's not kind of at the level, that the required level. And Timo Werner is slowly, I suppose, finding a little bit of form after.
And he seems to play more on the wide, wide left.
Yeah, and maybe he was brought in to play as a number 9 as well. So they probably have enough wingers and number 10s, really. And maybe Tuchel doesn't see Werner playing as a number 9. So it's probably one player they're missing. And maybe Tuchel will say, well, we had enough possession, we put enough crosses in. You know, if I had a real number 9, a Sergio Aguero type player, we would have got some goals today. And that probably is a valid argument, but he hasn't, so he needs to figure out a way to get all those great diminutive number 10s higher up the pitch and in better positions to score goals.
Chelsea have been linked with Erling Haaland, and you know, they're not going to be the only
club.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You know what I mean? I mean, every club is probably putting out those stories. He's the hottest player in world football. I think everyone, he would immediately make every team better.
Yeah. Yeah, looking at Manchester United, they're still in second place. They're way off the title, really. You'd have to say 12 points now against, or off the leaders, Manchester City, who they'll be playing next weekend. But they're just such a strange team to try and assess, because they're up in second place, but they've never really, as I said to Joe before the game, and we were previewing the match, they haven't really got people. If there was fans there, they wouldn't really up out of their seats watching this dazzling football being played by this United team. They play dazzling football in patches at times, like they demolished Leipzig earlier in the season, but not on a consistent basis, as you'd expect from a great Manchester United team.
Yeah, I don't think they're anywhere near the required level. You know, I think once, you know, Man City are obviously going to win the league this year. They're just not an enjoyable team to watch. But then for every point you make about Manchester United, there's four counterpoints that United fans will throw at you. Oh, we're second in the league. We score the most amount of goals in the league. So how can we be dull and boring? But they counterattack, and they're very, very effective at it. But in big games, when they get to finals, when they get to semi-finals, you invariably you come up against good opposition. Champions League, Leipzig, the last game, PSG, and even Besiktas, these are good teams. And if you haven't got that level of I suppose ability to alleviate pressure by dominating the ball, at some point you cannot give good teams 60, 70, 80% of the ball. You know, next week against Man City, they're going to find that if they give up that amount of possession to Manchester City, they're going to get beat, because in Manchester City have enough quality players that no matter how good you are defensively, they will get you eventually. You have to wrestle control of the game somehow, and they don't control the game, you know. And I suppose they sit back and they counter-attack, but if you take that weapon away from them, which I think Chelsea did reasonably well today, then there's not a whole lot else in their armoury.
Looking at the two centre-backs who come in for a lot of criticism when things go wrong, Victor Lindelof played really well today, and he made some really crucial interceptions and blocks and clearances. You know, a lot of the focus seems to be on him when things go wrong, whereas it sometimes seems a lot of people out there who would have an opinion on the centre-halves think that Lindelof would actually be a better centre-back than Harry Maguire. But I think
Lindelof and Bailly are probably their best pairing, really. Yeah. You know, it would allow them to free up some space in the middle of midfield, because unfortunately these two centre-backs, I've been saying it since the start of the season, they need to be babysat. They need two number sixes in front of them, because they cannot be left exposed. Whereas you've got someone like Donny van de Beek sitting on the bench, if you could take out a six and play with one number six and put a Donny van de Beek in there, now all of a sudden you've got five defenders and five attackers. Whereas at the minute, Man United have to play with six defenders and four attackers, and the fullbacks don't really contribute. You know, if you can play that way if you want, but your fullbacks then have to contribute, i.e. the way that Hudson-Odoi did today, and Reece James and Chilwell on the other side, and the way Trent and Andy Robertson do for Liverpool. Now, again, the counterpoint to that is Shaw's in a great run of form.
Yeah.
But it's only recently, you know, it's only the month of February before that his numbers, both their numbers, Wan-Bissaka's and Shaw's numbers were terrible, you know, for in terms of goals and assists. Mm. But again, the counterpoint to that is their fullbacks. But if you're going to play with two number sixes, you have to release your fullbacks, or you have to have fullbacks to contribute. And unfortunately, I think they're getting that balance wrong right now, Man United. But again, Man United fans will say, well, he's building, in time he will. But you've played Boye and Lindelof, I think you could get away with one number six.
A lot of what you were saying, you know, to be critical of United would seem to lead all the way back to Solskjaer, that he's maybe perhaps limited as to what he can do as a coach, that he's not maybe on the same tactical level.
You've been listening to me, haven't you? I've been saying that since day dot. I don't think he's a guy. I don't think he's. I think there's more in this Manchester United team. I think they're different. Like nobody sets out to be a counter-attacking team. It's something you almost fall into because you haven't got any other weapons, you know. So I just think that another manager, or a more tactically aware manager, or a motivational manager, or a confident manager, would set this United team up differently. That would give them more of a killer blow, as opposed to just waiting to win the ball back, give it to Fernandes and say, "Oh, can you help us? Can you do something?"
Yeah.
But he's struggling in the big six. I'm not surprised. Because it's you know, when you've got six defenders and four attackers, it's very, very difficult against really good teams to create chances and score goals. You know, against the likes of, you know, mid-table, bottom-half Premier League teams, you'll get more chances. But you saw today, you know, unless you've got help or you've got someone stretching Chelsea's midfield, Kante's going to gobble them up all day, you know. Mm. So many times it's just four attackers or shots from distance. And I think a club of Manchester United's stature need to have more.
Just to wrap up, I want to ask you finally about... Obviously, the big game next weekend will be the Manchester Derby. You'll be on doing that and off the ball, Damien. I asked Vinnie Perth about this last week, about the possibility of City doing a quadruple. And a lot of things seem to be going in their favour. They're already in the final of the League Cup, which is in April against Tottenham. They're in the last eight of the FA Cup against Everton, who they've already beaten at Goodison Park in recent weeks. They're, you know, clear in the Premier League. It's hard to see them being reeled back in by Manchester United. And then, of course, there's the Champions League, the competition which Pep Guardiola has struggled in so much in recent seasons. So what is the realistic possibility of City winning all four trophies this season?
It's a possibility. It's going to be very, very difficult for them. Champions League is going to be hard. The sooner they can put the Premier League to bed, you know, if they win next week, I think then they can coast in the Premier League and get that over the line relatively soon. Tottenham game will be a confidence booster if they can get a trophy in the bag. If Jose Mourinho's Tottenham is never an easy, even though they're inconsistent, you feel Jose would love to scupper that dream for Pep. And obviously there's some FA Cup. It's going to be very, very difficult, but they've got a chance. They're in a good place. They look fit. They look fresh. They look hungry. They look dialed in. So they've got a chance.
Thanks, Damien.
The OTB Sports app. Listen, watch, read. All in one place. Wherever you are, we're always with you. The OTB Sports app. Available to download now from your app store. The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.